Okay. All right, let's continue with Avshalom. Remember, we were talking about Avshalom and his rebellion and how David had to pray to take Avshalom out of the seven levels of Gehenna and to bring him into the world to come. So let's see what the Gemara now continues, still with the topic of Avshalom. Pasuk goes on and says, Avshalom did a very interesting thing, and if you take a tour of the Yerushalayim, you will see something about that. And Avshalom took and erected for himself during his time, lifetime a monument. My lakach, what did he take? Amar Reish Lakish said, Shalakach mekach ra la'atzma. He took something bad for himself. He made a bad decision. So although it says he took, in other words, it should have said, and Avshalom erected a monument in his life. What does it mean? And he took and erected a monument. What do you mean you take and erect? Just say he erected. So it says that he took and erected. It means he took a bad, just like Vayikach Korach. And Korach took. What did he take? So he took a bad decision for himself. So he took a bad purchase for himself, meaning to say he took the authority in his lifetime to make it a monument. So we'll see. Es matzeves, the pasuk goes on, a pillar, asher be'emek ha'melech, which is in the valley of the king. So what's going on over there? So there's lots of funny words. What do you mean, the valley of the king? What kind of valley of the king? It's not really in a valley. It's not in a valley, as a matter of fact. This is talking about Yad Avshalom. Have you ever seen the Yad Avshalom?
That's a hill, actually. It's not a valley.
Yeah, it's on a hill. Yad Avshalom's on a hill. It's there. It's in Yerushalayim. You can see it's one of the tourist spots. Okay. Anyway, Amar Chanina Bar Popa, Rachina Bar Popa says, what's this idea of the valley of the king? It means, but Atzas Amuka Shel Malcha Shel Olam, through the deep counsel of the king of the world. In other words, sometimes the word Amek means deep, and it can be a reference to a deep advice or a deep decree that Hashem has made. In other words, since David was involved in Bathsheba, Hashem allowed a situation to develop that Avshalom could now do things to make problems, and that's caused the depth. In other words, there's depth of what was happening. There was a deep idea of what Hashem had to cause Avshalom to have the temerity to erect in his lifetime a monument. Okay, and that all, you know, added on to the political fuel to eventually led to his revolution of David HaMelech. So this is all part of Hashem's plan.
This was before the rebellion?
Yes. Let's move on now. Now, let's see. How do we know all this? Dechsiv, because the pasuk says, Ran Yud Aleph Amid Aleph now. Hineni Mekim Alecha Romi Beisecha. The prophet, Nasan Anavi, said, I'm going to raise evil against you from within your household. This is after his Avera with Bathsheba. So the Navi says, you're going to have trouble from within the house. So therefore, Avshalom was carrying out the divine plan. Of course, he had free will choice in this. So now the word matzeves, which usually means a pillar, is also including Hashem's matzeves, his established plan. Hashem had a plan, and this plan was to make all these problems. Now, the verse concludes, and we don't have it in the pasuk. It says, "Vayikra lo." What did he call this monument? Yad Avshalom, the hand of Avshalom. Okay, so that's what he made. So you know the famous story that goes with Napoleon. Yeah. Now, if you go to Yad Avshalom, you don't see the hand. He constructed like a hand. The top of it was like a hand, and you don't see the hand. You just see the pillar. You don't see the hand. So the story is a pillar in the shape of a hand.
Oh, okay.
Yad Avshalom. So Napoleon came to Israel, and he walks by, goes, they give him a tour around, and they show him all the sites. So one of the sites is Yad Avshalom. So he says, what's this? He says, this is, well, a son of King David went and revolted against his father. So that he erected this pillar for a memory of this. He says, what a chutzpah. So he told his soldiers they had a cannon there, and they blew the hand right off the top.
Later.
For chutzpah. That's not something.
So he was on David's side. Right?
Well, whatever. I guess he didn't like revolutions.
Napoleon lost his hand. That's the ironic part.
Whatever. So anyway, that is the Yad of Sholem. Now we find another idea, now that we're on this topic, where you see people are doing things that fit into the divine plan. Again, that didn't take away from Avshalom's free will choice. He chose to do what he did. But Hashem is telling David, you should know that this is what's going to happen. This is what the free will choices are going to bring about. That's going to cause you a lot of aggravation. We have another idea where people do things that may not have been the smartest idea. And it's also from the depths of Hashem's wanting things to happen, as you'll find in a few weeks' Torah portion. Similarly, you find the following, where it says, where Yaakov goes together with Yosef to lead him to meet his brothers, to see what's doing with the brothers, which was also not a bright idea, because, you know, you're sending your son that your brothers are having all kinds of contention with all by himself to the brothers. Is that the smartest idea? So it says, Vayishalcheu, and Yaakov sent him Me'emek Chevron, from the valley of Chevron. Well, the truth of the matter is, Chevron is not a valley. Chevron is a mountain. So what are you, it's in a mountainous area. So what are you saying? He sent him from the valley of Chevron. Again, Emek. Emek means depths. Some of Chanina Bar Papa, Chanina Bar Papa says, it's also Be'etza Amuka Shalosa Tzadik Shekover B'Chevron. It comes from the deep counsel of the righteous one who's buried in Chevron, which is Avraham. And what does that mean? What does it mean, the deep counsel? Again, it's part of Hashem's plan because of the one of Chevron. We're talking now to Avram. Avram was the one who was buried in Chevron. He was the only one of the patriarchs that was yet had died. Dechsiv, as you'll find out in this week's Parsha, when Hashem says, I'm going to give your children the land of Israel, he says, how do I know? That was not a good thing. So Hashem says, Yadoa teida ki ger yezaracha. You should know for sure that your children will be strangers in a foreign land. And so therefore this had to happen. It had to be that the Jews would go to Egypt. So that was Hashem's counsel. So how are they going to get to Egypt? The only way they're going to get to Egypt if one of the kids gets to Egypt. So Yaakov has to send Yosef to the brothers. And then the brothers are going to sell Yosef into Egypt. And then eventually it's going to cause that the family is going to go down to Egypt. So again, it doesn't mean there's a valley in Hebron, but it means the deep counsel of the one who was buried in Hebron. Continuing now with Avshalom. Avshalom says, I'm going to... What? Now, why did he make the pillar at the time? He wasn't starting a revolution at the time. Because he says, Ki Amar, for he said, Ein li bein, I have no child. So I need some kind of memory for me. I have no child. Gemara says, what are you talking about? V'lahava lebani, he didn't have any children? V'haksiv, the pasuk says categorically, V'yivoldu l'Avshalom shlosh abonim v'bas achas. Avshalom had three sons and one daughter. So what do you mean to say he doesn't have any kids? So Amar Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimi, he answers, Shalohayo lo ben hogun l'malchus. He didn't have a child that was fit for royalty. And therefore, he wanted to make a monument. In other words, he figures that even if he would be the king, after he'll be the king, he won't have any children that would be worthy of a king. So his kingship will not be very long. So therefore, he wants something for posterity, and his kids are not going to make that posterity. All right. Now, we continue with some other ideas of Avshalom. Another explanation for Yad Avshalom. We're not finished with this. Rav Chisda Amar Gemiri, we have a tradition. Anyone who burns the produce of his fellow, and that's what Avshalom did to Yoav. Eino maniach ben liyorsho, he will not have any children that will inherit him. Why? Because when you, it's mita keneged mita, you destroy somebody's crops that comes from seeds, so your seed will be destroyed, mita keneged mita. And what did Avshalom do? Ve'il kliyah di Yoav. And Avshalom burnt the produce of Yoav. Dichsiv, as the pasuk says, Vayomer lavadov, he told his servants, Re'u, look, chelkas Yoav, the portion of Yoav, al yodai, it's next to mine. Velo sham sa'arim. And over there, there's all kinds of barley. Lechu v'atzisu v'esh, go light it on fire. Ve'etzitzu avdei Avshalom es hachelka ve'esh, and the servants of Avshalom burnt it up in fire. So therefore, if you burn somebody's field in fire, you're destined to lose that. Now, did Avshalom know about this? But it could very well be. He built the monument because he no longer had children. In other words, he had four children, and he burns the field of Yoav. Hashem punishes Avshalom that they all die, and after all his children die, then he erects Yad Avshalom. So either he made a Yad Avshalom because his children were alive, they weren't worthy for kingship, or they had already died. Okay, so now we're going to go to the next part of the Mishnah now. So far where the Mishnah said, you know, when you do bad things, you can expect measure for measure bad things. Then it says, when good things are done, you can get measure for measure good things. V'chein l'inyan hatova, so too with good things regarding Miriam. Where it says, Miriam waited an hour when Moshe was in the basket to see what's going to happen to him. And Hashem delayed that the Jews waited 7 days for Miriam. So the Gemara asked the obvious question. Midami, how can you compare the measure for measure over there? Hasam over there when Miriam waited, chatashada, she just waited 1 hour for Moshe. There the Jewish people waited 7 hours. So we see that the reward for good is not really measure for measure and equivalent, but it exceeds it. It's even more than it. By the punishment, it seems to be equal. Here it seems to be much more than that. So the Gemara just answers with a nice finesse. Amar Abaye, but he says, Ema, so let's read the Mishnah like this. Uli inyan hatova ena kein. But for the good, it's not so. In the whoop, hey, okay, it's popped right back. In other words, what does it mean? Measure for measure is equal. As bad as what you do, that's as bad as what you get. But measure for measure for good, it's not that way, meaning you get more of the measure good than what you did. That's one shot. Amalei Rava, Rava objects to that. But it doesn't say that. It says, V'chein le'inyin hatova k'tanin. It says, and also, not and not also, it says and also. So what, how can you change pshat in the Mishnah? Elam Rava, Rava says, Hochi k'tani, this is what the way the Mishnah should be read. V'chein l'inyan hatova, and so it is regarding the good. What does it mean regarding the good? In one way, but not in both ways. Deba'osa mita, that in that measure, in a similar fashion, he's rewarded. In other words, it's going to be in the same area, but not with the same precision. In other words, it's the same. The reward is similar in nature to what the person did, but it will be amply greater of amount than that. Ula olam, that you have to read in between the lines. Ula olam, and always, mida tova, meruba, midas peronis. The attribute of good is always better than the attribute of bad. So therefore, the amount of reward is going to be greater, but it's in the same line. No, so just like Miriam waited, so it's similar that people will wait for her. But the amount of reward is much better than that. So now that we stumbled on to Miriam, now we're going to go through the story with Miriam over there. It says, and the sister stood herself from a distance to know what was going to happen to him. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak says, Pasuk zeh kula al shem shechina nemar. This whole pasuk is hinting to the divine presence. Even though on the simple level it's saying Miriam stood at a distance to find out what was going to happen, it's alluding to Hashem is watching to see what's going to happen, because each word in the pasuk in other contexts are always related to Hashem. And they give you examples of that. Number one, it says, Vateisatzav, and she stood. So she stood can mean she, Miriam, stood, or she, the divine presence in the female tense of Hashem is the divine presence, the Shekhinah. So it was the Shekhinah stood. Tehsiv, as the pasuk says, in another place in the book of Shmuel, Vayavo Hashem came, Vayisyatzav, and he stood. So you see, we use stood for the divine presence. What's the next word it says? Who stood Achosa? His sister. Well, Achosa is another hint to the divine presence. Tehsiv, and more lachachma, call wisdom. Now, what wisdom are we talking about? Hashem's wisdom that's associated with Hashem. Call wisdom, achosiat, you are my sister. So sister is another homiletical expression of that. And since Moshe was the one who's going to give the Torah, so that wisdom, that name of Hashem of wisdom is used to show how he's going to save him. Now, the Gemara goes on and goes with the rest of the psukim, the next few words of the pasuk. all words that are also can be understood as Hashem. So she stood means the Shekhinah stood. Achosa, his sister, meaning the Torah, the wisdom of Hashem that's waiting, is standing and waiting. Next word is Merachok, at a distance. At a distance is also another way of describing the Shekhinah. Dechsiv, it says in the prophet Jeremiah, Merachok Hashem Niroli. Hashem appeared to me from a distance. So that's another one. The next word is Ladas, to know. Well, das also hints to the Shekhinah. Dechsiv ki keil deos Hashem. Hashem is a God of knowledge. Okay. To know ma, what is going to happen is the next word. Dechsiv, another pasuk tells us, mo Hashem elokecha Hashem erach. What does Hashem want from you? So you see, mo is associated next to the word of Hashem. The next word in the pasuk, what would yaseh happen? Dechsiv, as the pasuk says, ki lo yas Hashem Elokim davar. Hashem will not do something, etc., etc. Lo to him, what would Hashem do to him? Dechsiv, as the pasuk says, vayikra lo Hashem shalom. Hashem called him Hashem in peace, and he called the place Hashem shalom. This is by the Shoftim. He called this area Hashem shalom. So, but you see, the word lo is associated with that. Okay, anyway, now that we stumbled onto Miriam, now all of a sudden, pretend it's Pesach and the Seder night, and now you're going to get all the Haggadah Gemara now. Everything that you're going to, it's going to sound all very familiar. Why did Miriam have to do all this? Because of the terrible decrees that happened. Vayaka Melech Hadash, a new king came who did not know Yosef and made terrible decrees. So it's a machlokas. What's the machlokas? You all know. Rav and Shmuel have a machlokas. Rav Amar Chodesh Mamas. Once it was a brand new king, a brand new person. V'chad Amar Shnischat Shukzei Rosov. And the second one says, don't take it literally as a new king, but a king who made new decrees from before. So, now, so, look at what he's saying over it. The second view should not be taken literally to mean the original power from Yosef's time was still alive, for it's unlikely that a wicked person would be granted such a long life. Don't think the second opinion means it's the same Paro who just changed the decrees. It's not likely he lived that long. That means that he was the son or grandson of the original Paro, so that the kingdom was still intact. He's called new only because of his new decrees. The other view holds that the original kingdom had crumbled, and this new Paro was unrelated to the one of Joseph's times. So that's a real machlokas. Is it the same? Everyone agrees it's not the same king. He couldn't have lived that long. But was it the same kingdom? Or was it a new kingdom? So in Yaakov Melchadosh, a new king means a new kingdom of leaders, kings came to Egypt. Well, everyone says the old kingdom, but they changed their laws. If it's the old one, so why? So Mando Melchadosh, well, the one who says it's a new king, it's Mamish. It means a new king, a new kingdom. Dichsiv Chadosh, because it says new. It's a new kingdom. So that we understand. Umando Melchad Shukzei Rosov. And the other one says that the decrees were new. Now, why does he say it's the decrees were new? Why did he go with the simple pshat? A new king is a new king. So say it's a new kingdom. Why is the other opinion saying, no, it was the same kingdom but new decrees? They give a very simple answer. Because you don't find anywhere in the Torah, the lo ksiv vayamas vayimach. It doesn't say, and this king died and this king was born. You'll find this in the end of Parshas Vayetze, if I'm not mistaken, or Miketz, when it talks about Esav's descendants and all the kings of Edom, it says, and this king was the king, and then he died, and a new king came, and this one died, and a new king came. So if it was really a new kingdom, the Torah should have said, it said, Vayamas, the old king died, Vayimloch, and a new one ruled. And then say, you know, so that's what it should have said. But there's no writing that the old kingdom died. So it doesn't say the old kingdom died. We have good reason to think the old kingdom did not die. So that's the other opinion. Now, what do we say about it? The next part of the pasuk says, Asher lo yadas Yosef. They did not know Yosef. Right? Well, obviously, if it's a new kingdom, it's a simple pshat. They didn't know Yosef. It's no king. But if it's an old kingdom, what do you mean they didn't know Yosef? The answer is, to have a dummy command lo yadalakal. They made it like they didn't know who he was. They pretended they didn't know who it was, but they knew who he was, even if it's the old kingdom, but they made it like they didn't know.
Isn't it a stretch to go that route? Because
why?
There's a new king. You would just think, why have to say he died? There's a new king.
No, what if it's not a new kingdom?
We're talking about a new pharaoh, right?
So either it's a new kingdom completely, meaning to say not the son of the son of the son of the king. Let's say, you know, a liberal king as opposed to a conservative king, right? Whatever. No, I'm just saying, but he didn't know. In other words, the old kingdom knew Yosef, meaning to say they knew him, they knew him well, they knew what he did for the country, they were beholden to him, etc., etc.
All the people died off, another generation, and a new king comes along, he doesn't care.
But if it's of the same kingdom, then it's more reason that he should care, because he knows that his kingdom really depends on Yosef. So how could you say you don't know? You know, if the liberals, you know, if the conservatives still stay in power, they still would have a curse at Topher, people who are supporting the old liberals, but when the old conservatives. But if a new liberal comes in, he says, what do I care about them? So in other words, you know, my father, I remember my grandfather talked about Yosef and how much we owed him favors and he was helpful, this and that. So now he had to make it look like he didn't know him. But if it's a new kingdom, he says, what do I care about Yosef? He didn't do anything for my kingdom. That's the difference. So what does he do? Vayomer Alamo, he says to his people, Hineam b'nei Yisrael. Behold, the nation, the people of Israel. The pasuk goes on to say they're numerous and stronger than we are. So he's starting with the idea of the final solution. Well, Rachmon Litzlan. Tana, the Bryth Gemara elaborates on that. Who he started with the suggestion to start with the Jews. Lafika lokach lokatchil. Therefore, he was smitten first. How do we know this? Who he started to try to give the bad suggestion. Dechsiva yarmer lamo. He spoke to his people. He initiated the discussion. Lafika lokatchil. Therefore, he got hit first. Why? Because the pasuk says by the frogs. Ubecha. The frogs are going to come becha to you first, Paro. Uba'amcha, your people, Uba'chavadech, and all your servants. Who got it first? Paro gets the frogs first. Then he said, Havan Yitzchak Manolo, let's deal wisely with them. No, but it doesn't say, though. Let's go back. I translated it. Havan Yitzchak Manolo literally means, let's deal wisely with Lo, with him. With him. Singular. So, more asked, Lo Hemigbah, should it say, let's act wisely with them? Right? So why is he saying with them? So he says, no, it's not the them that I'm so worried about. Amar Rav Chama Rav Chanina, Rav Chama says, no. Bo unachakem lemoshin, so let's deal wisely with the future savior, and that's the him. They're going to be a future savior of the Jews. We know they're believing in their Messiah. So we got to deal wisely. We may kill a lot of them, but we're trying to kill the one that's going to be the advisor. Bamet, and he figured, okay, Bamet, you know, well, how should we judge him? How should we kill them without worrying that Hashem will get us back measure for measure? He knows, Paro knew that Hashem punishes measure for measure. He knew about the flood, he knew about Sodom, he knew about the Tower of Babel. He knows if we're going to start out with them, Hashem may punish us back. So let's try to figure a way that Hashem will not punish us back. Let's figure. Let's go through the possibilities. In other words, if we're going to burn all the Jews, not a good idea, because it says, you know, it's interesting, he's quoting Isaiah, but I guess it was understood away. Ki hinei Hashem ba'eshav, Hashem will come in a fire. When he vents his anger, he'll come in a fire. Now, they didn't know the pasuk, but they knew from history that Hashem punishes with fire. Uksiv, it also says, ki ba'es Hashem nishpat, with fire, Hashem will punish with fire. So that's not a good idea. Not a big question, why you had to bring two psukim? Why do you have to have the second verse? But anyway, you see, not a good idea to burn the leader, because we're going to get punished, because Hashem punishes with fire. Becherev, let's kill him with a sword. Let's chop his head off. No, ksivu becharba as kol basar. Hashem's sword is against all flesh. Okay, we can't kill him with a sword. So what are we going to do? El abov nidabah. Let's drown him. Let's judge him with water. Why not? Because that's a good idea. Because last week's parsha, shikvar nishma, kodesh brok, sheinu mevi mabalom. Hashem promised not to bring a mabul. So he's not going to bring a marble. We don't have to worry about retribution that way. Shenamar, as the pasuk says, ki mei noach zos li. For like the waters of Noach shall this be to me, just like I've sworn never again to do it. So therefore, I'm not going to do it again. So therefore, but what was his mistake? That's right. Vehein ein yadun, they don't know, shall kol olam kulei mevi. He's not going to bring it to the whole world. Maybe, but on one nation it will bring. That's one answer. Inami, or another answer. Who ain't a maybe? Hashem doesn't bring it. Hashem will not bring a flood. They fall into themselves. Because Hashem, they went into the Yam Suf. And then Hashem just let the waters naturally go back to their place. So he didn't destroy them. They destroyed themselves. Well, who asked you to go into the water? Right? V'cheinu Omar, that's the proof to that is, it says, U'mitzrayim, nosim likra. So the Egyptians were fleeing towards it. So in their confusion, they ran into the Sea of Reeds, and they ultimately caused their own death. And that's what the Gemara says, V'ayindam Rabbi Elazar, this is what Rabbi Elazar said, Ma'idichsiv, what's the pasuk mean? Ki bidvar asher zoru aleim, for the thing that they planned to do, right? But that's what the pasuk says, what they plan to do. So against themselves, Hashem is going to punish them. Zadu is an interesting word. It can mean plan. It can also mean to cook. So what does it mean? The pasuk means, Bikteira shabishlu ba nishbashu, the pan in which the Egyptians cooked, they were cooked. Now cooking is something you use through the medium of water. So the Egyptians were thrown into the very pot of water which they threw the Jews in. They threw Jews in the water, they got in. My Masha, how can you tell me that the high Zodu Lashon Kter? How do you know the word Zodu means a pot of water, a cooked dish, when usually it means what they planned? Zodu means they planned. Where do you get the idea of cooked water? Because we have an example in a couple of weeks, Tichsiv. Vayozed Yaakov Nasid. Yaakov cooked a soup. So you see, Vayozed and Zodu can mean cooking. Okay, next famous Gemara. Amar Rav Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rav Simoy. Rav Chiya bar Abba, the name of Rav Simoy says, Shlosh Ayubo said there are three people involved in the planning of the destruction of Jewish people. Bilam, Ve'iov, and Yisro. Bilam, Iov, and Yisro. So what happened to the three of them? Bilam, Shiach Snarak. Bilam gave the advice to kill the Jews that Paro followed up on. So he got killed in the battle when the Jews fought the Midianites. He was murdered. So that was measure for measure. Iov, Sheshasak. Iov, who was silent. He didn't say any opinion. Need don't be a certain. He suffered all the sufferings of Job, where we see that a person who's an ability to protest and doesn't gets the punishment. Now, why is that measure for measure? Because when you're afflicted with suffering, you cry out of pain. All right? And that was the punishment for Eov, who failed to cry out in pain. Right? And now, you could have said, well, but listen, he knew it wouldn't help if he would have complained. Power wouldn't have listened to him. But as the famous Musar word is, if you know people are suffering, you got to cry out even though it's not going to help. And how did he learn that? Well, when Hashem punished him and he was suffering, he was crying. So you could say, well, what does help to cry? Is it going to make your pain any better? No, but if it hurts, you cry. So then why didn't you cry when you, why didn't it hurt you this year that innocent people are going to get killed? That's why you have to cry even though you can't do anything about it, but you have to show it bothers you. He didn't even show it bothered him. So Hashem punished him that he would suffer and he would cry, even though the crying doesn't help. But that's the way it should be done. Yisro Shabarach. Yisro ran away. He protested. He had descendants who would be on the Sanhedrin, who would sit in the Lishkas HaGoshes, the chamber of the hewn stones where the Sanhedrin sits. And there'd be descendants of his there. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Umishpacha Sofrim Yoshve Yavetz. And there was families of Sofrim, meaning scribes. Yoshve Yavetz, dwellers of Yavetz, who are, the names are, the Tirosim, that's a group of people. The Tirosim people, the Shimosim people, the Suchasim people. And who are they? Hema Hakinim, they're from the Kaini family. Haboy Machmas Avi Beis Rachav, who come, descended from Achamas, the father of the house of Rechav. And who is Kaini? Who's Kaini? Uksiv b'nei Kaini chosem Moshe, the sons of Kaini, whose Kaini is the father of Moshe. Another, Yisra had seven names, and one of them was Kaini. So you see that they were all descendants of Kaini and they were Rechav. So that's what you see would happen with all three. So, what?
You just said it's the same Yisro, so, but he was in Midian, so are we saying that he conferred with Pharaoh on his, what he wanted to do, and Eov the same thing, and didn't he come later? Eov was much later, isn't he?
Well, it's a machlokas when Eov was. This opinion is holding that Eov came later. Some people say Yehov was in the time of Avram, and others say from this Gemara appears he was, lived later. Yisrael, first of all, was in Egypt. Then the story of Moshe with the shepherds and all that, that's after he left. Remember, there was a gap of time of over 20 years. Eov, it's just a machlokas when Eov lived. Now, the only question that still has to be asked is as follows. So, who got the worst punishment over here? Who got the worst punishment? Bilam or Eov?
Eov.
He suffered so much. Bilam, one second, he got killed. But you'd think that Bilam should have got the worst punishment. He didn't. So Reb Chaim Shmulevitz gives the famous answer based on the words of the prophet Yirmiyahu, who says, "Ma yisoinein adam chai." What should a living person complain about? Which he says that no matter how bad your life is, as long as you're alive, you're infinitely better than a person who's dead. Because no matter how much suffering you have, you could still do Torah mitzvahs. Once you're dead, you're dead. No matter how painless the death was. But if a person could live longer with pain, it's better to live longer with pain than to that. If you appreciate what life is. If you appreciate that life, every second of life, you could be close to Hashem, you could do mitzvahs. So we give the analogy of the following. You're driving on the highway to go to work, and there's a chuck hole on the highway, and you get a flat tire. You're cursing the day, a terrible day, I'm so angry, God hates me, this and that. Anyway, at work, he decides to buy a lottery ticket. Okay, that night he finds out he wins the $64 million lottery. Okay, so he already got the tire fixed yesterday. He's driving down the same highway. Now he's driving downtown to pick up the $64 million check, which happens to be next door to the place where he works. So he's driving down the same highway, goes over the same chuck hole, gets the same flat tire. Is he upset? What happened? What's the difference? Same thing happened. He should be twice as upset. The same chuck hole. Answer is, he'll just leave the chuck hole and buy the 400. Buy the whole highway. He's going to buy a new car anyway. When you got $64 million, a chuck hole isn't going to bother you. If you realize that life is worth more than $64 million, then you're not going to let pains of life deter you. You got to stay focused. And that's why the punishment of death is ultimately worse than even suffering.